Thursday. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This show is brought to you in part by Highland Park Lanes, parties, events, bowling. Great time, always putting together. They got the leagues going on. Get your birthday party celebrations going. Or just get the fellas, ladies' night, whatever. Get over to Highland Park Lanes. Tell them we sent you from the whole show. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers repeat as Super Bowl champs? I mean, the Bucs pretty much filled it back up. They're going all in again. I think, and again, when I say weakness, I'm not saying sucks. Tampa Bay is my favorite. Has there ever been a Super Bowl team that was just an A in every area? I don't know that that's true. The Broncos, when they won in 2015, their defense was probably mostly A's and B pluses, but Peyton Manning was more like a C that year. It doesn't mean I don't think you can win. It just means I'm to get over your big weakness. You know, like if the Chiefs have a suspect offensive line, okay, they're going to be on paper. These guys are good. They're all good together, but we all know what an offensive line's got to be. It's got to work together. So I'll believe it when I see it. You got the Browns this weekend. Good luck. And then you got the Ravens. And then I think it's the Chargers. So that'll give you 3 weeks to try to click. It's not as easy as just plugging in. That's why I always hesitate when you just do a complete overhaul of your offensive line. You act like replacing Eric Fisher is just this easy thing to do. Now, I look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers side of things, and I say their D-line is a little sketchy, but playing in that 3-4, their linebackers make up for that. Their linebackers are the best trio, you know, at least top three as far as linebackers go. I mean, my goodness, they are stacked. Shaq Barrett doing his thing. He had kind of an interesting year compared to that year that got him paid, or compared to that year that brought him to Tampa Bay. I mean, he was like lights out. He was phenomenal. You look at Lavonta David, Devin White. I mean, they have a wonderful core when it comes to linebackers. I mean, that is an amazing group. Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, Lavonta David, and Shaq Barrett. So they make up for it. Vita Vey, Ndamukong Suh. Listen, I still like Vita Vey, but you look at Sue, he's 34 years old, and he's just now got cleared to play this week or tonight. So the D-line, if you want to say that there's a weakness on this team, it's probably that. Now, again, when I say weakness, I'm not saying they suck. I'm saying that's their weak point. Should have great defensive backs, Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting. Safeties you got to like in Winfield and Whitehead and Cooper. So this defense is great. And then the offense, what's there not to like? Tommy Bones. Gronk. I mean, Gronk is going to be, maybe he's going to have some games where he goes crazy and then games where you don't remember. O.J. Howard's probably in the pressure cooker because you're waiting for him to be that guy. He was supposed to be, you know, a big-time player. And I would say he's kind of on the hot seat. They have a really good offensive line in Tampa Bay. So I like them to repeat, man. I really do. The only thing that would stand in their way, I think, is if you do finally see Mother Nature catch, or Father Time, Mother Nature, either way, right? Works. Father Time finally catch up to Tom Brady. And it will happen someday. You just have to wait and see. Judging by last year, the fact that he got better, they haven't lost since November 29th. They got better every game since that point. Tom Brady got better every game since that point. So I'll believe, that's another one of those. I'll believe it when I see it. When I see him start to slow down, we'll go there. So who do you got tonight? Most of you think, yeah, Tampa Bay. And then, of course, the question will come in, and we didn't ask this on the Twitter question, but are the Bucs going to cover this spread? It's 9 now against Dallas. And listen, Dallas intrigues me too. I don't know that they're going to be, I mean, based on that spread, you would say, wow, they're pretty far away. Maybe they're going to be like a middle-of-the-road team. Dak Prescott was damn near flawless through 5 games. They have, as far as trios go, you got to love their trio of wide receivers. Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup, then sensational. Defensively, they have some, you know, they have some question marks for sure, but they draft Micah Parsons, who should help their linebacking core out immensely. they made some free agent moves on the cornerback side of things, but they're playing without Zach Martin tonight. So that's already hurting on the guard side of things. O-line does matter, as we've learned. One guy out can be a big deal. You know, look at Denver with their backup offensive line. Take those guys out and better hope nobody gets hurt on that offensive line for Denver. Should be a very fun one tonight. First Advantage, text line 970-478-1301. Eastside Chris, I still have 6 months on the Chief Dixon sentence. I'm up for early release. I thought we all said you were released of that. You go back to being a Broncos fan. He said maybe you should come up with the hole of shame. I mean, it's all good, man. The hole pass, we decided we're going to do that at the end of the season. Who gets the hole pass, basically? Who shouldn't be fired? Like, I've taught you, it's a great, great segment. Because at the end of the season, I'm probably going to issue hole passes to a lot of people. Ed McCaffrey, Steve Adazio, Carl Durrell. Regardless, I can already tell you, regardless of what happens this season. McCaffrey ain't going anywhere. Carl Durrell ain't going anywhere. The only one that has kind of the question marks is Steve Adazio. And again, 5 games. That's just the way the world we're in. Because it's not just about Adazio for CSU. It's about Joe Parker. Because the pressure is certainly on Joe Parker. And if something were to go awry at the end of the season and they move on from Joe Parker, and again, they don't have to wait till the end of the season, but if they do, you get another AD coming in here. Does he want a different coach? So again, I think they're honestly, they're all three going to get hole passes. They're all three going to be back next year, like it or not. But yeah, that's a great, I love that. That's a great thing. Broncos Giants coming up on Sunday. And man, it's big. I mean, you look at Vic Fangio, and I saw an article in the Denver Post today. 5-1 favorite to be the first NFL coach to lose his job in 2021 is Vic Fangio. He's the favorite to be done first. 63 years old. He's been in the NFL a lifetime, and he certainly has a great reputation of being an amazing defensive-minded guy. But here we go. He is under immense pressure to get this done. I mean, I'm telling you, 0-3, he's gone. Right? I mean, he's got to be gone. If you go with Pat Shurmur, because Shurmur was a head coach not too long ago, you make that transition. He is coaching for his life this year. And every game that he can win in September gives him a little bit of a buffer. But I mean, does he get the pressure? Does that phase him? And I mean, all coaches say the same thing when you ask them, right? We've asked coaches several times on the show, do you feel a sense of pressure, you know, to get some wins this season? No, you know, there's pressure every weekend to win, regardless. Whether you're an amazing team or a bad team, there's just pressure every weekend. Okay. But he said he was asked about it from the Denver Post, and Kislev points out, here's the quote, I think because of my experience of being in football for so long and having a good handle on everything, I'm okay with that. I'm not 35 years old, Fangio said, as far as kind of realizing the expectations and the fact that the odds makers have him a 5-1 favorite to be the first head coach fired during the 2021 season, during the season. He said he was aware of the criticism. I've read the stuff. I've heard the stuff. I like listening to it. I like getting into it. But I don't know. Like, that's another poll question we'll probably do. Will he survive the halfway point of the season? And I believe he will. Because I do have the Broncos winning 11. You win 11. Watch, they fire Vic after 3. And then somehow still win 11. And I'm right. No, the odds of that happening are outrageous. I'm falling in love with this run game. I've always been a Melvin Gordon fan. And if he can run anything like he did those last 5 or 6 games, and then you got Javonte Williams, who you're extremely excited about. Pat Shurmur said he could have a year like we saw with Saquon Barkley in his rookie year. His rookie year was a monster year. So if you get those two guys, 1-2 punch, running the show with that offensive line up front, you're going to be able to do a lot of interesting things with Teddy Bridgewater. And on the defensive side, you know, you want to talk about rankings. Most have the Broncos as being an elite. You crack top 5, Maybe you say top three. That's elite. And I don't see any reason why, at least when it comes to the pass, why this Denver defense won't be there. 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break. Brian Howell coming up. Buffs, Texas A&M, Aggies this weekend in Denver. Different story for Colorado. They go from a game they're absolutely supposed to win to a game that they're supposed to lose in one of the top teams in the country with Texas A&M. How will they handle that transition? We'll talk to Brian Howell of Buff Zone coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now, like we said, the Buffs go from being an overwhelming favorite over the UNC Bears last Friday to an overwhelming underdog against one of the best teams in all of college football, Texas A&M, this weekend. Joining us now, Brian Howell, our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. Brian, whew, this is going to be this could be a really fun game, could be a great measuring stick for the Colorado Buffaloes coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one that we're going to find out a lot more about the Buffs, I think, this week than we did even last week. And, you know, we're going to see how close they are to, you know, one of the nation's better teams. And, you know, if they're close, then you have a lot of hope for the Pac-12 season. If they get blown out, then you kind of wonder what this season is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at various spreads, Brian, and I mean, you're seeing it, you know, what, 16.5 is what I saw last time around. Is that fair in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, in my opinion, I think A&M covers that spread, and that's no knock on CU. I just think they're at a notch or two below Texas A&M right now, and I think CU is going to need a lot of breaks to win this football game. So I actually have A&M covering that. I think they're just that much better than CU.
When you look at Texas A&M, I mean, again, last week they just annihilate their opponent, but they've got, they've got this offense. They've got a lot of weapons. I know they have a young quarterback, but that can, boy, that's got to be a great thing for a young quarterback when you just have so many weapons, both on the receiver side and running backs. I mean, they are stacked with offensive weapons.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, last week it was interesting because I think it was a 10-3 game against Kent State at halftime, and then A&M kind of came out in the second half and blew them away, but got help on the defense, actually, from the touchdown. But they do have a lot of playmakers. I mean, we talk a lot about CU's running backs, but A&M's running backs might be even better. You know, Isaiah Spiller is one of the best in the country. They've got a tight end who's a first-team All-American candidate. They've got a receiver, Anaya Smith, who used to be a running back, and he's one of the fastest guys in the country. So they have one of the best left tackles in the country. So, yeah, it's a pretty loaded team.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. I mean, even before the season, they were projected to be, at least a 10-win team and a top-10 team going in. And now, obviously, living up to that when you beat a team that you're supposed to beat by quite a bit. And like you said, they turned it on in the second half. Yeah, that's going to move you up there. So it's certainly going to be a test for those Buffaloes. Like you said, on the rushing side, though, Caldwell's got to be happy with what he's seeing, even though didn't absolutely blow the doors off the place. I don't think they opened up a lot of their playbook, and that's not a knock on UNC. I just think that they thought, all right, we can beat this team, kind of going straight up. But, man, you got to love the fact that Jarek Broussard obviously gets close to 100, but seeing Alex Fontenot back in the mix, I mean, they've got some pretty darn good running backs, like you said.
Yeah, you know, Alex Fontenot had a good day, and he didn't even have a huge run or anything. I mean, it was exciting to see Rashad Clayton have a big run and get in the end zone. Deion Smith, I don't know how much we'll see him this year, but he got to play and got in the end zone. So, yeah, they do have a lot of depth. Jarek looked really good. And, the Buffs, you're right, they didn't show a whole lot in that first game. I don't think they needed to. I think it worked out perfect for them. They were able to get in there, not show a lot, stay healthy and get a win.
Yeah. Well, how much pressure is going to be on Brendan Lewis? I mean, he didn't have to do much, and maybe that was important. You know, that was one of the most important things, right? Not throwing picks, not taking too many crazy chances. 10 of 15, 100 yards, one touchdown. But when you can control the game, which they started to do midway through the second quarter, up 14-0, and then they really controlled that game, are we putting a lot more on his shoulders this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have to. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if Lewis has to go out and win the game, but I think he's got to be better than he was last week, and they're going to need him to do more. I mean, A&M is going to put a lot of pressure, and, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought UNC did a good job of getting some pressure on Lewis because he was on the run quite a bit the other day. I think he was sacked a couple times, but he had to scramble several other times. I mean, three of his incompletions were throwaways because he was under pressure. So I thought UNC did a good job, but A&M is going to crank that up a couple other notches. So he's going to be under some pressure. He's got to play well. He's got to find his receivers, and the offensive line's got to block, or else if the Buffs can't run the football, then just forget about it. I don't think Lewis is quite at that level where he can go out and beat A&M on his own if they make this one-dimensional.
Yeah, it's always strange when you see a score 35-7, but Brian, the Buffs certainly walk away from that game with some question marks. Like you said, that defensive front for UNC, they were getting back there, especially in that first half, and then Brendan Lewis, like you said, he was kind of on the run. So when you walk away from that game, you win big 35-7, but it does leave some of those larger question marks, because you want to be I'm guessing they want to be a rushing team, but again, that offensive line, it has to be able to hold up on both sides as far as pass protection and creating holes for the running backs.
Yeah, for sure. And they mixed a lot of guys in there. I don't know if it was performance-based or it was just trying to get some other people in there, but they moved around some guys in that offensive line. And it'll be interesting to see who plays this week. And they're still not fully healthy up front. I mean, Frank Phillip is maybe their best tackle, and he's been out since middle of the spring with a shoulder injury, and we hear he's going to be back sooner than what they anticipated, which could be next week. Maybe they'll surprise us and he plays this week. I don't know, but they need him back as well. But that offensive line has got to play a little better than it did against UNC.
Well, a defensive line with Texas A&M, I mean, they lost their stud tackle, Bobby Brown, and they're still, I mean, the rankings came out, this line's probably going to be better than that when you lose. So, you know, there's depth there, and you're just doing something right. So, like you said, this offensive line, it's going to be every single play, this front group for Texas A&M, they're going to be coming at them.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarvin Leal is one of the best defensive players in the country. Jaden Peavy is a guy that was on a lot of preseason all-conference lists in the SEC. I mean, they got a linebacker who flies all over the place, defensive backs who are All-American candidates. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. And, hey, A&M gave up a ton of yards last week, a ton of rushing yards too, which was really surprising because they were the number two rushing defense in the country last year. But maybe they've got some things that they're still trying to work out and see you can take advantage of that. But if A&M gets back to what they were last season and kind of show us some things up from last week, the Buffs could be in for a long day. But maybe the Buffs saw some things on the film last week that they can exploit.
Yeah, like you said, on paper, that defense looks pretty darn good for Texas A&M. But, yeah, Kent State was able to run the football. They had over, 220 yards rushing. And when you can do that, it should open you up for more things. Passing was difficult, ultimately. But we'll see. I mean, again, I think the Buffs certainly want to set things up with their rushing attack. And like you said, maybe they found something on film that they can really exploit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, this will be a good matchup to see, which team has improved the most from week one, right? I mean, the Buffs have probably got a lot more improvement to do than A&M, but A&M certainly didn't look like a complete product in their game either. So if the Buffs can exploit that and they can take advantage of, you know, being somewhat close to home and play at a high level, they can win this game. And I think the Buffs have the ability to go out and win this football game if a lot of things go well for them. And we'll see if that happens, and I don't think it will, but we'll see. I mean, they're capable.
Well, and I mean, my goodness, if you find a way to get this done, it's going to be a cool atmosphere, of course, in Denver. I mean, you find a way to get this thing done, and suddenly the talk of the town, the talk of the Pac-12 is, wow, okay, these Buffs following up an Alamo Bowl appearance from last year to this, my goodness, Carl Durrell's the real deal.
Yeah, and I've actually said, I've used the line this week that no matter what, the country's going to talk about A&M, right? Because they're one of the top teams in the country. if the narrative on A&M after this week is what's wrong with the Aggies, that's a good thing for the Buffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means they look really good. Even if they lose this football game, but they made Texas A&M really work for it, I think people are going to say, what's going on with Texas A&M? So, if everybody says, hey, A&M is rolling, that's a bad thing for the Buffs. We'll see what happens with the Buffs. I mean, it would be amazing if they can go out there and win this game and really kind of back things up from last season, because that would set themselves up for a really good season this year.
Well, and, here in north of you, Brian, I know Bears fans will be rooting for the Buffs, because that just makes the Bears look even better if the Buffs go out and beat a top-five team and the Bears think, my goodness, all right. But so there's a lot there. All right, 16.5 points, that's the spread. What do the Buffs, we said Brendan Lewis has to be better, there's no question, but what do you see going right? Do you see Jarek Broussard going nuts? Do you see tight ends getting involved in this game with Brady Russell, or does this have to be a lights out defensive performance from the Buffs to even give them their offense a chance?
It has to be a really good defensive performance. They've got to force some turnovers. A&M threw four picks last week. They have a young quarterback as well. He threw three in his first start, so the Buffs have got to be able to try to take advantage of that and see if they can force him into some more. And then offensively, I don't see Broussard going nuts, but I think he's got to be productive. He had 94 yards against UNC. If he can get 80 to 90 yards and the other backs can, add another 80 to 90 combined, and the Buffs are around 175, 200 yards rushing, that's really good. And then, if Brendan Lewis can get some of his weapons involved, some of the big-name receivers that we talked about before the season – didn't do a whole lot last week. Lavonte Chenault, Demetri Stanley, Brendan Rice didn't even catch a pass. So get some of those guys involved. Get a Brady Russell involved at tight end. Just kind of mix things up. And offensively, you just got to be better. And, if they can do that, this will be a good offensive performance. And then you get some things on defense, and you can win this game.
All right, Brian, so what do you think? I know you said you're not too sure they cover the spread, and that maybe that's not a bad thing. Again, 17 points, if they lose by that much, it's not necessarily a thrashing and you're hanging in there, but what do you think? What do you think this score is going to be? And give it us officially, I suppose. Will the Buffs, could they win this thing? Do they cover the spread?
Yeah, as I said, I think they can. However, the score I'm predicting is 45-20 A&M. I just think they're that much better than the Buffs right now. I think that it's going to go their way, and the Buffs need too many good things to go their way for me to sit there and predict them to win this game.
Yeah, and then the schedule gets pretty interesting after that with Minnesota, and then you get into your Pac-12 stuff with some decent teams, top 25 teams there. So far, again, one game in, but the tests are going to be there for Colorado for sure.
Yeah, no question. This is one that, I penciled this in as a loss to start the season. I've always looked at this next game against Minnesota as kind of the key game for the Buffs in the non-conference. They've got to beat the Gophers next week. I know we'll talk more about it next week, but to me, if you can get out of this one with a win, that's huge. But if you get out of it with a loss, that's fine. Lick your wounds and then go after Minnesota next week, and you can still set yourself up for a good Pac-12.
Boy, you find a way to win this game. I mean, you're getting into the – I mean, maybe you're approaching that top 25. I mean, big things could be in store if the Buffs can pull this thing off. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if they win this game, I think they will be top 25. I mean, it's hard to be the top five team and when you're 2-0 and not getting the rankings. I mean, we saw what happened to UCLA. So I think they will be a top 25 team if they win this one. That'd be huge, and it'd be awesome to see it. The Buffs need something big. They haven't had a big monumental win like this in a long time. It'd be great to see if they can get it this week.
All right, man. Brian, appreciate you. I know you'll be giving us some previews, some write-ups throughout the week, the weekend, too, leading up to this one on Saturday. Always appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Ooh, he's going 45-20. 45-20? Listen, it's arguably the best team in the country right now. Again, one game in, but it's also based on preseason rankings and everything. And Texas A&M, so far, so good. So it could get ugly. But we didn't see, again, UNC played them pretty well, but the Buffs didn't open up that entire playbook. So that's the one thing if you're looking at it going, well, the Buffs didn't cover the spread. Well, they still won 35-7. I think both teams, as we discussed yesterday, walked away from that game feeling like, all right, we kind of did better than we expected. I mean, when you blow a team out, nobody expects a blowout. It just doesn't, even the wise guys, they get it right sometimes, sure, but beating a team by 28 is a difficult thing to do. And for the Bears, they covered that 30 8-point spread. They were 10 points better than that. So it's going to be interesting. We'll get our picks tomorrow. But we got, most importantly right now, the pick that's in front of us, Colfax, and that's the Thursday night special between Tampa Bay and Dallas. We're going to give you that. We're going to go with – we'll see what the spread is and everything. We don't just pick a winner. We're going all in. All right, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're back. Well, it's Thursday night. A new week has gone. I turn on my radio for some prophecy fun. I hear an American picker on KFKA. The biggest game each week is his specialty. I gotta get ready, make the TNS the bomb, because Thursday night special is gonna be special tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready, ready?
I'm ready, ready.
Ready for some Thursday night special?
Let's go!
A Thursday night party!
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, this is Rockin' Colfax.
I love Rockin' Colfax. I love the Thursday night special. We love NFL football on Thursday night. Oh, whew, I got to start doing some more cardio because that right there just wore me out. My goodness, Rockin' Colfax gets this thing hopping. Okay, calm down. We just gotta, haven't even made the pick yet. Here we go. You got the Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They haven't lost since like 1945. Their last loss was to Dixon's Chiefs, who apparently have the greatest offensive line in the history of offensive lines. They've never played together before. Sorry, Dixon. Had to throw one more in there. Tommy Bones. Pretty good rushing attack. Leonard Fournette revived his career. Ronald Jones, who might have been a bust, but came out of it in 2019. Then 2020, he was on his way to 1,000 yards. He almost had 1,000 yards. Messed up his quad, and that kind of slowed him down. The wide receivers, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, doesn't get much better than those two. Combined, 135 yards and 20 touchdowns. And then when we talk about the defense, we look no further than their linebacking core. They are absolutely studs on the defensive side of the ball. Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, Lavonta David, Shaq Barrett. They brought the entire band back together. On the other side, the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott was going to break everybody's records. Through five games, he threw for almost 2,000 yards, and then he tears his out for the season. It was a rough go. And then the preseason, really didn't get to see him. I mean, camp really didn't get to hear about him. But he's coming back. Think we're optimistic about him. How about Ezekiel Elliott, man? I mean, last year he averaged 4 yards per carry. He went from, like, stud, and then just every year he's deteriorated before our very eyes. Their wide receiver core is fantastic. They got Micah Parsons. That was one of the guys that I wanted the Broncos to see. I'm pretty happy still with Patrick Surtain. Zach Martin's out tonight. That is a big deal. COVID protocols, I believe, for the guard, Zach Martin. The spread was 8.5 this morning. It has now jumped up to 9. I really hate having to pick games like this because the spread is where it's at. You can't just pick Tampa Bay to win. Tampa Bay is going to win, obviously. But will Dallas cover? Do I take Dallas in the points? Do I take Tampa Bay to win by 9? Because I picked, I looked at this at 8.5. Stared at this at 8.5 forever. I like Tampa Bay
Hold
to cover
to
this,
butts.
Baby. Let's go.
Here's a pass caught for the touchdown, Gronkowski.
Retire now. You're soft and weak.
A play action, Brady to his second look. It's open. It's Antonio Brown for the touchdown.
Where are my football pants?
It's Gronkowski running.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Fournette. Yeah. Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
He's unhappy with his boss and has no options. Who is Aaron
Rodgers.
Tom Brady's throwing heat.
That is correct.
He's throwing heat at everybody.
And when the Super Bowl ended, the ball would be in the hands of Tom Brady. Woo!
I don't know why we ever think it won't.
Oh, boy. That is just good stuff right there. Tommy Bones. Throwing in a Leonard Fournette drop there. I think he and Ronald Jones are going to have a really good year at the running back position. I like the Bucks. I just like the Bucks to win this thing and to cover it. They're winning big. Now, I took them with the 8.5-point spread, so you got to give me grace there. It's 9 now. It's probably going to be 30 by the time we get to this thing. Whoo! I am pumped. Dixon says, I missed the last 40 minutes. Probably a good thing. We were trash talking. But got back in just in time for Rockin' Colfax. Let's go. Thursday night special. We are going 1-0. I'm ready. I'm ready for this, man. I mean, we're poised. We've been studying. We've been preparing. And listen, I kind of for a moment said, can Dallas do this thing? Maybe they catch Tampa Bay off guard. Dude, Tampa Bay told their fans to be there an hour before or maybe 30 minutes before kickoff because they're going to do their Super Bowl celebration. Guess who won't be in attendance? Any of the guys that won that Super Bowl. They are staying in the locker room because they said that was last year. That's a Tom Brady move right now. We didn't win a Super Bowl this year. That was last year. It doesn't count. They're not going to be out there to celebrate this thing. You know what I mean? Guys on that roster have never celebrated a Super Bowl. You got Gronk and Brady sitting in there like, yeah, this is whatever, dude. They're going to raise a banner and woo, yippee-doo. The rest of these guys are like, I kind of want to see it, man. But they won't do it. So I couldn't do it, man. I think Dallas will be improved. Again, all of that hinges on Dak Prescott. You have to really hope he's going to be all right. Buccaneers winning tonight. They're going to win this thing easily, at least covering the spread. And we're going to go 1-0 in our Thursday night specials, NFL edition. 46 minutes after the hour, Eastside Chris. Rockin' Colfax, that was awesome. Heard you going off and was mad that someone changed. Who the hell changed the station? What? Who did this? What's going on? You tell that person that the Thursday night special is the greatest segment in the history of radio, per several reviews. Baking Magazine, Furniture's R Us, all those magazines, National Enquirer. Put it out as well. So, I mean, legit sports-related magazines, and my grandma loves it. 47 minutes after the hour, short break, wrapping this thing up on the other side. Oh, and by the way, we got the Severance Silver Knights going up against the Platte Valley Broncos tonight. High school football action, Thursday night football on KFKA. Oh, my goodness. I'm muting tonight, and I'm listening to Clark Numbers Johnson, because it's Tanner Schwint's team, baby. It's his old team, his new team. He's an all-state quarterback. He's probably signing autographs tonight. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
More cardio, man. Air guitar is getting harder. The older I get, the air guitar is just getting more and more complicated. But whew, You feeling it, man? Football's back. It's in this full thing. It's, you know, there's going to be a packed house tonight. The Buccaneers are going to be going nuts. Fans are going to be going crazy. Dak Prescott's back. And that's just to start this thing off. I mean, then we got more high school football coming up on Friday night. And, right? Yeah. Right, okay. I was like, wait a second. What do we have here? Because last week threw me off with all these Friday night college football games. And Saturday is going to be a big game, a big weekend for three of the college football teams that we really follow, looking around the rest of those conferences, too. And then, boy, Sunday, Broncos-Giants. And listen, we're looking at the Giants going, oh, that's an easy win. The Giants are looking at the Broncos going, oh, that's an easy win. Zach Stevens posted moments ago that Bradley Chubb is officially practicing today. So that is very good news for the Broncos because you want to see those two guys getting in the mix together, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. I don't believe in Daniel Jones, but this is a good test early for the Broncos cornerbacks because they have some good wide receivers. They went out and got Galladay. I mean, I like Sterling Shepard. They have some decent wide receivers on this roster that could potentially give the Broncos fits. And if Barkley's going, if he's going full bore, which I don't think he is, but I'm still concerned about Devontae Booker. I mean, they picked him up for a reason. That guy, could he be a starting back? For some teams, maybe, but I do think he's going to be a guy that's going to find four or five games where he really lights it up, really tears it up. So you got to be concerned about that going forward. All right, man, that's going to do it. I'll be back at 5 o'clock for Rams Weekly, presented by Mighty River Brewing. And we're going to talk all things Rams. Myself, Kevin Lytle, Chris Abshire of the Coloradoan. We're going to get into it, unpack a little bit more of what happened last weekend, but we're turning, as I've said, we're turning that page. Issa Chris said, sorry, I thought someone changed the station, because no one changed the station. He thought he was listening to, like, you know, top-notch music radio with Rock and Colfax. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.